Sometimes the words of the Torah and the true understanding of a story or episode is very transparent. For example, the story of the Mabul, where we're told of a generation that has sinned, and how Noach, who was a tzaddik tamim in the eyes of Hashem, was worthy of being saved. So that's laid out in the Pshat, and it's merely reinforced by Chazal in the Torah Sheba'al Peh, where they expound upon the details of just how sinful the generation was. However, there are times when there's a great disparity between the Pshat of the Torah and what we're taught by Chazal. And I don't think there's a greater example of this than what occurs throughout our entire Parsha. Almost everything we're taught as kids seems to be contradicted by what we actually read in the Torah. At face value, it looks one way, but beneath the surface, it's totally different. So I'm just going to explain some examples as they appear in the Torah. In the Torah itself, Esav seems like a really good guy. The Torah says of Yitzchak Avinu that Vayahav Yitzchak is Esav Kitzai Befiv. Yitzchak, who is one of the greatest of the Avos, one of the greatest Jews of all time, he loved Esav Kitzai Befiv because of the way, let's say, the way he spoke. And a little later on in the Parsha, Yitzchak asks Esav to get him some food, and he's willing, and he goes out and he hunts for it, and I'm sure that was not the only time where Esav acted in order to help his father. Another example, we're told, Vayazed Yaakov Nazid, Vayavo Esav in Asadev Hu Ayef. Yaakov is certainly known as an amazing tzaddik, and here Esav comes back from the field, and the Torah says he was tired, and He was also hungry. And Yaakov was there making a soup. V'yomer Esav el Yaakov, alitainina min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh, ke'ayef anochi. Please give me some of that soup. I'm really tired, I'm really hungry. And the next pasuk, v'yomer Yaakov, Yaakov says, he doesn't say, of course, my brother, let me share it with you. He says, mircha chayom es becharas chali. Sell me your birthright. Give me something in return. It doesn't seem so nice. And just a little later on the Torah, Yaakov tricks his father. And not only that, but something that even makes this more problematic is that Yaakov is known as a person who embodies the midah of emes, of honesty. And yet, when it comes to all the avos, Yaakov's the one who we see clearly lies more than the others. Says the Torah, Vayomer Yaakov el Aviv, Yaakov says to his father, Anochi Esav Bechorecha, I am Esav, your firstborn. Asisi kasher dibarta elai. I did that which you commanded me to do. Five psukim later, when Yitzchak is a little skeptical who he's speaking to, Vayomer ata zebni Esav, he says, are you really Esav? Vayomer ani? And Yaakov responds, I am. So what's going on? And then this is reaffirmed where after Esav comes back and they realize, Yitzchak and Esav realize what happens, Yitzchak tells Esav, Achicha b'mirma v'ikach birchasecha. Your brother came with trickery and he took the birthright. He took the blessing. And the last example is that although we don't have the stories about Lavan, we are introduced to him. We are introduced to him at the end of the parsha because Yitzchak commands Yaakov, and he says, "V'kach lecha misham isha mibnos Lavan achi imecha." He commands him to go find a wife for himself from the daughters of Lavan, from his uncle Lavan. And Lavan comes across in the text as a righteous individual. The next week's parsha is one example. And there are a number of examples, but just one example is when confronted by Yaakov for tricking him by placing Leah instead of Rachel, Lavan says, what do you mean? How could I let you marry Rachel first? It's not appropriate to have a younger child get married before an older child. Look how righteous he looks. And look at his name. His name is Lavan. It means white. Think of white, you think of purity. At face value, that's what Lavan represents. And clearly, there's tremendous distortion to what's going on here. And the Torah Sheba'al Peh is the pnimius to what's going on. The Torah Sheba'al Peh really comes to explain and open up. You can't just read the Pshat of the Torah and really understand the story because as we were taught as kids, is actually correct. That Esav is a Rasha, and Lavan's a Rasha, and Yaakov is a Tzaddik, and Yaakov does embody MS, and there are ways to work those out even by looking at the text. And we sometimes, unfortunately, project a false perception of who we are as people. Where here, we have the Torah where it seems one way, and then really down below is a totally other story. And sometimes our lives are like that. Sometimes we project one thing when really deep down we have totally other intentions. And one of the worst things a person can be is disingenuous and two-faced. People who may say one thing and do another, or live their lives pretending to be someone they're not. In senior year of high school, my psychology teacher, Rabbi Dr. Johnny Krug, he was also at the time, besides teaching in high school, being the assistant principal, he was a practicing psychologist. And he told us the following story, of course, because of the anonymity of his clients. So he, of course, couldn't tell us the name, but he said to us, he began by telling us it was a celebrity. And he said, if he were to tell us the name, we would all recognize that person. We would all know who he is. And he says as follows. He said, this person, at one appointment, this is probably a short while earlier, came into his office with a cup of coffee and literally threw it against the wall. And that's one way to start a therapy session. And Dr. Krug said, you seem pretty angry and frustrated. What's going on? And the person, the celebrity, told him as follows. He said, this morning, I woke up and he said, I went to get ready. I wanted to go downstairs. I wanted to get the newspaper. And he said, I happen to be bald, and nobody knows this. Every single person in the world thinks I have hair because I have three toupees. And I start, let's say, I put on the lowest hair level of toupee. And then 2 weeks later, I go to a middle level of hair length. And 2 weeks after that, I'll go to my long hair toupee. And then I basically get a haircut, but not really. And then I'll go back to the shortest hair toupee. And he said, I went this morning and I put on my toupee like I normally do. And he says, I can't go outside. I'm a celebrity. I can't go in public without first applying some makeup. I have to look presentable. And I put on some makeup and I put on a nice robe and I went downstairs to get the paper. And I'm thinking also how throughout my entire career in the show business, I'm pretending to be someone else. I'm literally an actor. I'm acting to be someone else. And it dawned upon me because not only in the movies and in TV am I acting to play someone else, but in my life, in my real life, I'm also acting and I'm also playing someone else. And I don't know if I've ever really been myself. He said, it dawned upon me that I've never lived my own life. And every single moment of my life, I've been trying to live someone else's. There's a Gemara in Brachos that speaks about a story where Rabbi Gamliel was basically kicked out from being the Nasi. Rabbi Gamliel, he appointed a guard to be at the door of the Beis Medrash because, as the Gemara says, it says that he only allowed people to come in if they were Tocho Kibaro. And after he was removed from his position, so the Gemara says in Brachos on Kafchet Amar Aleph, says Oso Hayom Salkuhu Lishomer HaPesach. They removed that guard. The Natan Lahem Reshus L'Tamidim Likanis, and they allowed all students to come in. Shai Rav Gamliel Machers VeOmer, because Rav Gamliel announced. Rav Gamliel said that Kol Tamid She'in Tocho Kibaro Lo Yikanis LeBeis HaMidrash. He said any person, any student who's not totally MS through and through, if they're outside, their outer appearance of looking like a frum individual is not the reality of who they are on inside, you can't come into my Beis Medrash. You're not welcome. And that day, when they removed the guard, there were literally hundreds of benches that were added because all the people who wanted to learn. And Rav Gamliel, he felt bad. He felt, maybe I did the wrong thing. Look at my people. I stopped from learning. And that night he had a dream. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu let him know that don't think you did the wrong thing. A lot of these people who are coming to learn, they're not as genuine. And they are people whose inner insides do not reflect who they are on the outside. But that idea of placing a guard at the door, so Rav Tzadok HaKohen is pre-tzadok in Parshas Pinchas, he says as follows. He says, V'chi shomer ha-pesach haya bal ruach ha-kodesh leida imhu tocho kebaro. He says, it doesn't make any sense. If you place a guard, if you think of places that have a guard at the front door, so let's say, for example, let's say our shuls on Shabbos now. Unfortunately, we're in a situation in the world where we have to have guards. And the guards, they look at people and they're able to tell externally, so certainly they look for familiar faces, look to see if they're a member. Maybe if they're not a member, if they see the man's holding a talis bag, the person's wearing a kippah, if they see that they fit the part, then they let them in. But over here, what is Rav Gamliel asking for? He's asking about something that's internal. Rav Tzadok, he says, it doesn't make any sense. How could you have a guard say and feel whether a person is toho kebaro, is if who they are on the inside is reflected on who they are on the outside? He explains as follows. Says Rav Tzadok, there was no guard. The guard was the person themselves. The person who wanted to learn. After Rav Gamliel announced, no one could come in unless you're toho kebaro, every person had to examine themselves to say, am I honest with myself? Am I a truly frum individual inside as I am on the outside? And many people were deterred. They said, I'm not. And only those who felt, yes, I am. My insides, my inner desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and my outside externals and my appearance, they're one and the same. And those are the people who went in. And being a sincere and totally genuine person is not as easy as it sounds. And we live in a time period when there's so much falsehood around us and so many people pretending to be someone they're not. People posting on Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram about the happy life and family they want others to think they have. People are dressing, acting, and talking in ways that their friends and colleagues would want them to dress, act, and talk. And one of the greatest milos of a Jew is to be toho kebaro, to be sincere and honest with yourself through and through. There's nothing greater than living your own life and not the life of somebody else, not the life that somebody else wants you to live. And may each of us get to know our true selves and reflect our true essence inside and out.